Thursday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside, as always. We'll take you to three. Hand it up to our good buddy Phil Benatti. His fine show behind the bench. Usually 3 hours on a Thursday, 2 hours, because we have the National Football League starting yet another week, and it means Pittsburgh and Cincinnati tonight. It also means that Phil is at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. Again, stop by and see El Paso across from River Park. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. You can also give Phil a call if you can't make it in person on the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Also want to remind you that tomorrow Rod has the big 65th anniversary celebration there at Fashion Furniture, so I'm sure Phil will tell you more about that, and I hope people can stop by and say hello to Rod at that time if you guys can't make it today. Good idea, be stopped by both days, every day of the week if you'd like at Fashion Furniture. That would be a good idea as well. Anyway, very busy day. Jackson with me. We have not only the NFL, but we've got the doubleheader for Major League Baseball, the League Championship Series over on 790. Tell you all about the schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Tell you more about the great work Ed does for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State a little bit later on. By the way, I want to mention, baseball-wise, the Dodgers and the Brewers will get started in just about an hour, and our pregame over on 790 starts at the bottom of the hour. And so far, for both league championship series, it has been home field disadvantage. Five games have been played, and the road team has won all five. And I know that the Brewers would like that trend to continue. Talked about it yesterday. If the Jays lost, they were in big trouble. They won, so they've turned the series back around. If they can get it tied today, they know they're going to go back home no matter what for game six minimum. Brewers face the same issue. If they don't win today, you're down 0-3, and it's pretty tough. So we'll see what happens, and I know that Phil will talk all about that in the upcoming hours after we wrap things up with Jackson. Before we get to our de facto co-host, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you as they do every day. First, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. I just mentioned the Lee's Air Hotline. Lee's has been with us for a good long while, allowing us the time on each show to bring you the weather. Great local people, been in the Central Valley in NorCal since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. Far as the forecast goes, 69 today as the storm has cleared out, 73 tomorrow, 76 on Saturday. The lows are going to be in the 50s. Now, there were fog issues today because of what has happened rain-wise the last couple of days. But as this forecast moves along, there is no rain in the forecast, and we're looking at mid to high 70s, including a 79 Sunday, and then mid-70s all next week. The good news is the lows are in the 50s, because everybody who grew up here knows fully well that when the lows get into the mid-40s, that's when the dew point can collide, and you suddenly find yourself with the ambient temperature and the dew point the same, and look out, that means the clouds on the ground, which is what fog is, but right now it looks pretty good. Great temperatures in the daytime in mid-50s or thereabouts at night, and the winds are down. It's a good idea, if the wind's going to be down, that we don't have those lower temperatures, because the fog can really form. The other thing is the projected right now for a week from Saturday for the Fresno State-San Diego State game, 76 the high on that Saturday, not this Saturday, but the Saturday past the 25th coming up. So we will see what happens as we get past this week and get to the future of Fresno State football on the field. I'll ask Jackson, I don't think yet we've gotten any inkling whether it's going to be 12:30 or 4 o'clock, but we'll get to that as well in just a moment. Anyway, thanks to Lee's for allowing us the time to talk about the weather. Again, if you need to reach them, leesair.com, anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing, or 825-5337-825-LEES. The other reminders, one comes from our good friends at KFC, the local operators in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, in Kerman. Delighted to have them aboard helping out across the valley in their sponsorship of athletics throughout the Central Valley of California. So you have an international, national company with the local operators stepping up big time. And right now they have a great deal going on as they have brought back one of their legends of the late 90s, and that is the honey barbecue flavor on everything, talking about chicken sandwiches, the tenders, and, of course, the crispy golden pieces you know and love, and that includes the 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals. Again, stop by the KFC's, the original honey barbecue. It's sweet, savory, and back for this month of October. Stop on in. Got tremendous deals right up and down the menu, and also they still have their Tuesday and Wednesday deals in play. Beyond this, the Tuesday deal being the $10 8-piece bucket or tenders and the Wednesday country fried steak for $5.99. But right now, the emphasis at KFC on the original honey barbecue offerings that they have, sweet, smoky, finger-licking good. And you know what? I'd love to have some right now if I could. I hope you stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Pick up a bucket or two or a sandwich or whatever, wings, whatever it is that you might want there, and tell them thanks for being part of the solution up and down the valley and trying to bring the money forward so that athletics become what they're supposed to be. Now, finally, our good friend Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, allows us the time every day to tell you about how to donate to Fresno State, but first tell you about his business. Joe has been at 4529 North Marty Avenue in town for the last few years, but it's 25 years he's celebrating right now for this great business. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food grade, chemical hoses, suction hoses, all there under one roof. Stop by and see him or give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or more information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com. Or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Family-friendly business. If you're working around a valve from an industrial standpoint, if you're anybody at, say, maybe a plant, you're at a plant, you're a maintenance person, working at a dairy, tanker delivery service, anybody who relies upon a valve for their well-being financially with their business, their productivity, if that valve goes down, your business can come crashing down in a big hurry, and then your bottom line takes a catastrophic hit. What Joe can do for you, contact him or stop by and see him in person. Tell him what the issues are. He'll analyze everything for you. He will go ahead and tell you the game plan, keep you up and running, same day estimates, same day chance to keep you up so that you don't find yourself falling back and losing money. At the same time, if you have an opportunity after Joe solves your issues, he would like to tell you what he does for Fresno State and has done as a booster for over 3 decades. And at this time, the best avenue is, once again, the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There, if you click on the donate link at the top, you will find different opportunities. The BulldogFoundation.org link is there. Under the major giving societies, you have the Green V Society, the Myers Champion Circle also there. And then under ways to give, you have, number one, the methods of support, which will delineate how you can give to Fresno State. And then you've got the very important Valley Co-op that's underway. We have seen Jamie De La Serta and people like that step up big with this Valley Co-op. Vance Wahlberg as well for his own team. And also, you have got the sports clubs there, so your money goes directly to the team you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack just with me yesterday will now have Wednesdays uninterrupted because the schedule has moved around with baseball being later in the day for us on most days. Jack will be with me to talk about Fresno State basketball. We're just less than 2 weeks away from getting started now on the court. They'd love to have more members at the timeout club, and Jack has said call him directly on his cell, 287-3305-559, 287-3305, or hit him up on his email, ferdigjack@aol.com. Also links for other sports, for instance, dugout club for baseball and other men's and women's sports under ways to give. And also, as you go to that link, under the more category on that link, you can see information for tickets and parking and other things on campus. Very important. And once again, as of July, the NIL money's under the aegis of the university. So if you want to give any donation, any sponsorship idea, make sure you contact the university and take it from there. Anyway, thanks to Joe and everybody at Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Thanks to Ed Dunkel and Precision Civil Engineering. He'll afford me the time to tell you about the schedule for both 1430 and 790 a little later. And then thanks, of course, to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Don't forget the Lee's Air hotline, again, 559-320-1430. And finally, thanks to the local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We appreciate one and all. That having been said, we turn to our de facto co-host, the King of the Bark Board, the only guy who has the honor of being on the air with me twice a week because he still has a bar bet that he's paying off. It is Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm just battling the allergies, Jackson. And one more time, laying down is not a lot of – I literally lay down on the job. Look, when I call the play-by-play at night, I have to be upright. But during the daytime, I might as well have an iron lung because I could lay down the entire time, you know. Maybe I need a real nice tanning unit so I can work on the tan. Would that work for me? Lay down, tanning unit, and the show at the same time. What about that? Is that okay? That's what you do, I know. And you look terrific, by the way. So is that a good idea for me?
You get the opportunity to multitask, apparently.
That's multitasking, all right. Tanning and doing the show. If there were multitasking involved, it would include KFC right now, trust me. Okay, that's what I'm telling you. All right. Look, a lot to talk about today. I want to get to recruiting if we have some time. But first, J.J. had sent a really nice email. J.J., thanks for all the emails. Robert had sent one, another guy who has terrific correspondence for us, mainly about the goals of this year. And the best way to describe it, and Craig brought it up in his email, and again, guys, tdad1@att.net, T-D-A-D, the number one at att.net, about system versus adaptability. And what I'm talking about, Jackson, is every coach, and I think Matt Entz, by the way, is an outstanding coach. He's proven that already throughout his career, his great success at the FCS level. But you always have a philosophy, if you're a coach, on how you think you can win football games. But sometimes your philosophy has to change a little bit according to your personnel. And I bring this up because there has been the question, the goal of this year, it's always to win the conference championship. But the curiosity has been, is Matt looking to establish things that go well beyond this year, beyond just worrying about this year, and does that influence the decision-making for this particular season? I don't know. Only Matt and the coaching staff knows for sure about that, but it has been a question that I'll ask you about in a moment. But what I did want to bring up, Jackson, was Don Shula, who, you know, the Shula family still coaching all over the place. Don Shula was an outstanding player, outstanding defensive back in the National Football League in the 50s, and then was a very young man as a coach in the 60s with the Colts. He also was the coach, as people know, of the Dolphins, and he was the coach of the only undefeated team since the Super Bowl era, so you're going back to the mid-60s, with the Dolphins going 17-0, and that's why they pop the champagne every year, those that are still alive from that club. In 72, they popped the champagne every year when the last undefeated team gets bumped off. They had to wait until the Super Bowl with the Patriots, as we know, several years ago. But the thing was, the team that Shula had that was so great was a run-oriented team with Kick and Zonka and Mercury Morris and a game manager in Bob Greasy as the quarterback and one outstanding wide receiver, Paul Warfield, who had been a star in Cleveland prior, and a great defense. And they won a lot of close games. When you look at the Dolphins in that 17-0 year, almost every single game, including the Super Bowl that was only decided by one score, they were close games, but the Dolphins always won. So you would say, okay, Shula is that run-first, conservative coach who is unbudging in what he wants to do. Well, that was incorrect because 10 years later, plus, he had Dan Marino, he had the Marx brothers, Duper and Clayton. He was in the spread, and the Dolphins were throwing the ball all over the place. It's because he saw his personnel and adjusted to it. It's why when Bum Phillips was coaching in Houston, he had that iconic comment about Don Shula. And he, Don Shula, he said, he can take his'n and beat your'n, or take your'n and beat his'n, meaning he can take either roster and beat you because he knows how to adapt to the talent in front of him. I bring this up, Jackson, in the way of a question to you. If you're Matt Entz, and I think we all recognize this, you went into this year saying, my MO is to run the football. Everybody knows it. We talked about it. Shorten the game, play good defense, make the plays you need to in the last 5 minutes and win. With that philosophy, when you looked at the three quarterbacks, you had Mandel, who didn't have the experience. I'm talking about from Entz's point of view. You had Conklin, who came in late, who is a more of a meteoric kind of quarterback in that he can be a very, very spectacular player. He also, going in, was a guy that, I guess the best way to describe it, had a high ceiling but also a low floor, and that he could force the ball on occasion. So it appeared the more experienced Warner was the best choice to be that kind of game manager, despite the turnover issues that Warner had had at Temple and at Rice. Now, Jackson, you're halfway through this season, and the game manager part of this has not worked out as well, one, because your offensive line has not been dominant enough to enable you to run when the other teams know you want to run. That's why I mentioned yesterday, it's hard to run when the other guys are in your backfield with you, meaning that, you know, you got linebackers and safeties in your backfield, for goodness sake, when you're trying to run. So I'll ask you, Paizan, what do you do now? If you're Matt Entz, do you stay with the system and say the system says that Warner is the best choice no matter what the rest of the way, or do you break away and start to look at a more adaptable kind of, I'm going to accept more risk but more reward potentially with Conklin, because right now this, at least from last Friday, looks like it might be problematic in these must-win games coming up against San Diego State and Boise State. What do you do if you're Matt Entz? Understanding he's an outstanding coach. I'm not taking anything from him. What do you do if you're in his seat right now with that quarterbacking situation?
I think it's an especially interesting question because just a week prior, after the Nevada win, Coach Entz was talking in a post-game press conference about how they stayed the course, that there's a bit of you as a coach, maybe if things aren't going well like it wasn't in the second half against Nevada, they kind of scrap your plan and then try something else, but it could end up going worse. And by sticking with their plan, they ultimately ended up winning that game. Then you look at the Colorado State game, and clearly the plan they went in didn't work, and it feels like they kind of have to scramble a bit just 1 week later after kind of that staying the course message. I think there is a lot of reviewing, self-scouting, and possibly changing some things this bye week after what happened against the Rams. And the formula they've had has been successful for 5 games. It's also proven that it can dig them out of the hole that they got into at Kansas and at Colorado State. So you're really set with the question of whether you stay the course and really bank on everything going right between your defense and your running game, or if you do make a change, it could cost you. I mean, some of those 5 wins the Bulldogs had, there were 3 very close ones. Warner didn't make a ton of mistakes in those games. Maybe another quarterback might have, but obviously they weren't going to be able to overcome what they were put in the 2 losses with Warner back there. So I think in general, it's probably less about how the season has gone and more about how defenses are planning against this offense moving forward. It does seem like they're at kind of a wall here where teams are really loading the box and they're just not threatening enough in the passing game. And I think that's what it boils down to. I would assume they're going to evaluate that over the bye week, likely give Carson Conklin some more reps this week. I believe he has been getting some extra action this week, and assess if they have another option to go to, or schematically if they need to change things up offensively. Maybe there's things Warner can do that they haven't gotten to in the playbook because they've been a little bit more conservative and now they have to break it up. So I expect some changes in the offense going into the San Diego State game. I don't necessarily know if that means a different quarterback. They've been very complimentary of Warner all the way up to this last game, I would say. I think there might be a little bit more digging into if they should make a change there or not. But I think fundamentally they need to do some different things on offense because defenses have figured them out. And if your own Bulldog defense comes out and gives up two touchdowns in the first quarter, I think you're just about doomed the way this team is looking right now. But if you can establish the line of scrimmage, run that ball, go up 7-0, 10-3, you can do what this team's doing and win games. But it's kind of a thin line to walk, especially against two opponents that look a lot better than what the Bulldogs have seen lately.
Well, there's no question, Jackson, that the way the game's played out earlier, and you referenced it, this easily could have been, instead of a 5-1 team entering last Friday night, a 2-4 team, because there's no doubt that the Oregon State game and then the two conference games against Nevada and Hawaii, one play could have changed everything. Hawaii, naturally, if that two-point conversion is made, you're in overtime. Oregon State, the Beavers will tell you in what has been an absolutely awful season for them, that was a game that they let get away up there. Fresno State will say that they made the plays, the Bulldogs did, but the Bulldogs were on the cliff of losing that game. And we talked about the Nevada game, that third down play where if Jones does not opt to option it out to the running back and keeps it himself, he's probably going the distance or damn close to it because the Bulldogs were all outside of that seam where he had a lead blocker, a lineman, ready to take him down the field. And after they didn't get that play, Fresno State, to their credit offensively, was able to run out almost 9 minutes. But that game was, again, hanging by a thread. So you're right. Going forward, you can't play the same way, the way San Diego State and Boise State are playing right now. But what I will ask you, Jackson, is if the philosophy behind Warner was the mistakes that were made at Rice and Temple were more about the personnel around him, how do you then justify keeping him in here if the personnel is clearly better? Now, I know what you told me that Davis said, that as far as the Bulldog offense goes, they were surprised what he has seen from the defenses in FBS as opposed to FCS. But clearly, the Bulldogs should be better personnel-wise than what Warner had around them, correct, in Rice and Temple. Is that your take?
Yeah, that's fair. And I think probably the one thing that's not getting enough credit right now for this Fresno State offense is the biggest issue for the last several seasons has been pass blocking. And this year, the pass blocking, not necessarily because they have superior talent or technique or anything, but the style of play has really shadowed any issues that the pass blocking may or may not have. They're grading analytically amongst the best in the conference, or the best, actually, and haven't given up a lot of major sacks. You know, there's been a couple big ones, but they've been kind of few and far between. And that was something we didn't know if they were going to be able to pull off. So, and that's for Warner as well, a guy that hasn't taken a lot of sacks in his career, but was one of the most pressured quarterbacks in the country last season. So he's not had to deal with that nearly as much. You know, in the receiving unit, they haven't quite figured things out there, in my opinion. I mean, Josiah Freeman is getting going now that he's healthy, and Ezekiel Abbott has looked good when healthy. Now he's hurt, of course, and they haven't really gotten to many other receivers after that to this point. So I don't know how much weaponry there is. Richie Anderson has been very good the last couple of weeks at tight end, but you can only get so far with two targets or so that you're comfortable with. Freeman had 15 targets last weekend. Anderson had another 8 or so. I mean, I don't necessarily know if the Bulldogs have superior receiving weapons to what Warner's had in the past right now, at least not from a depth perspective. But I think in general, you know, the goal was to make this defense and this offensive running game so effective that the quarterback wasn't going to win you games and he wasn't going to lose you games either. And I don't think Warner has won or lost the Bulldogs any games, but the other facets sure have. They've looked very solid in those 5 wins. They've looked very bad in the 2 losses. And I'm not necessarily sure a quarterback change is going to change that, but it could make you give you more leeway if the defense is not getting their A game and the running game's struggling a bit, especially with the way defense is just gaming against you. It could be a slight difference that can make a difference in these types of games coming up against San Diego State and Boise State.
Well, I know this. When the Bulldogs saw Conklin at Sac State, there was a great line from a friend who said, Conklin scares the daylights out of both teams. Okay. So, and that is because he can be, again, that meteoric talent, but we know a meteor burns very brightly, right, and then disappears. He's going to mature. He has the arm. He can certainly change the dynamic defensively. You know, talked about this many times, Jackson, during the 49er heyday, as great as Joe Montana was, and, you know, in my book, there's never been anybody better, okay, because as a 49er fan, all those long-suffering years got erased at the start of the 80s because of Joe Montana. But when Walsh was seeing in the mid to late 80s, Montana having the injuries like the back issue in 86, et cetera, and he brought Steve Young in, who was, you know, a huge talent at BYU and had that disaster in the whatever they were calling the USFL at that point. There's a lot of names for the USFL. But with Oldenburg and what was going on in L.A. and then was in Tampa Bay and all of that stuff, that Walsh saw the tremendous talent of Young. The problem was Young was the guy whose upside was enormous, probably more than Montana's at that time of Joe's career, though Joe answered pretty quickly by winning back-to-back Super Bowls again. But Young was a guy who had to learn not to beat himself, and he finally did. It took him a while, but that's why he's in the Hall of Fame. His talent was undeniable. Conklin is a guy who is very young, and I would assume, Jackson, that he's going to figure it out. But do you worry, and this is that adjunct to it, that if he does figure it out, you're not going to be able to hold on to him, something that you would not have had as an issue even a few years ago? Does that factor into this at all, knowing you've got a one and off right now with Warner? Is it worth investing everything in Conklin? Are you sure he's going to stay? Can you live through the inevitable ups and downs for a guy who can truly scare the daylights out of the defense as well?
I think from an overhead standpoint, that's certainly there. And I think it had part of what to do with what happened over this offseason, where you've got maybe a Joshua Wood who wants to play. And if you're a coaching staff and you've got a senior who you can play, and then you've got another guy ready to go the next year, that's ideal. Whereas if you play the younger guy and he excels and now you can't afford to keep him, now you're in a tough spot for the next year. So, theoretically, it's possible Conklin could come in, set the world on fire, and then leave for a big NIL deal before 2026 ever gets, assuming they're planning on starting him next year. And maybe a Deegan Rose commitment gives you the thought of that not being as big of an issue for next year if you think you can plug him in as a true freshman, or at least there's potential there. So, ultimately, I don't think right now in the heat of the season the coaches would be thinking that far along that line. I think they're just trying to win, and whoever they can put in there to best set the team up for success is what they're going to do.
Well, look, first of all, I was going to ask you how Rose changes the dynamic. And second, I'm in agreement with you. At this point, you should be, and I think the coaching staff is, in regard to the question about the goals of this year. Their goal is to resurrect what was such a promising season prior to Friday night. And the only way you're going to do that for the sake of 2025, never mind the new conference, never mind what might be out there, because I think we both agree, and anybody following college football trying to keep their sanity in this particular day and age with college football and NIL, you have to have blinders on about next year, because you just we've talked about it so often, right, about coaches. It always was, well, what happens if you bring in a coach who uses you as a stepping stone? And then the answer is, well, if he leaves the program in that good a shape so somebody else wants him, then it's all the better for you. We didn't have that discussion prior to NIL, Jackson, about players, right? I mean, the assumption was that most of the players you brought in were going to stick around for 3 or 4 years. That's not the case anymore. So if you're looking at 2025, You have to look at it just for this year. But can you reboot right now? Can you start over with Conklin or Mandel or anybody else and think you're going to have more success than you're going to have with Warner? Or do you make the argument, as many have in email land, that I know many have on the board, and that is, the old, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, guess what? Right now, from a quarterbacking situation, you can make the argument it's broke because your game manager is turning the football over, which is the antithesis of what you want from a game manager. If you're going to turn it over, you're going to want a guy whose upside is huge, that you can accept the turnovers because he can also beat somebody with a 50-yard bomb. That's not the game of Warner. So just for 2025, could you justify staying the course, saying it is the best period for this year, no matter who else is sitting on your bench or who else is doing what Steve Young used to do, which is warm up his left arm right in front of Montana, okay? What do you do?
I think it's based on the other pieces around this team. As much as Warner has turned the ball over, I mean, if he has zero turnovers at Kansas, zero turnovers at Colorado State, I don't think those, I mean, those scores are probably a bit closer, but I don't think the Bulldogs are winning either of those games. It's just a complete failure across the board for too much of the game in both of those contests, whereas Warner has managed to manage the game for the five wins when the running game and the defense is doing enough. But I think the big question is, are you confident that your running game and your defense is going to be able to carry you the next two games? I don't think it's ideal to plug in a new starting quarterback in your eighth game against one and two of your best opponents on the schedule. But if you come to the conclusion that either you don't have the running game and defense to overpower these upcoming teams, or defenses have just figured it out to the point to where you can't execute with your current quarterback, then I think it's, in that case, probably a no-brainer to go to the next option and just see what you've got and hope for the best, I guess, once the lights turn on. So I'm curious to see what the coaching staff comes up with, which way they go. And again, I think these Boise State and San Diego State upcoming opponents, they've just got enough offensive firepower and defenses that are well-rounded to the point where you're probably not going to be able to win in the same manner that you beat Hawaii and Nevada and Oregon State. So whether it's Warner or Conklin, I think there's a lot that they need to assess here during this extra week.
Well, there's no doubt. Your points are very well taken, Jack. There's no doubt at the start of the year when we talked about what Fresno State was going to do that it resembled the 1990 New York Giants, in that that was a team that ran the football, shortened the game, played ugly, but won, and continued to win, and Roger Craig cooperated nicely in the NFC title game by fumbling the damn thing away to him with 2 minutes and 38 seconds to go. Not that it bothers me. And they went on to win the Super Bowl because Norwood couldn't make a 47-yard field goal. What I'm saying at the end of the year, if the scoreboard told the story, the scoreboard said the New York Giants were world champions, okay? But they could never have done it without that defense week after week. And that was a great, great defense, keeping them in games. So what you're bringing up right now, are you concerned then that the aberration of last Friday night was not an aberration at all? Because we have focused a lot on the offense. And there have been people that have brought up, well, what about the defense? I said cut them some slack for last week. Are you worried that somehow this defense that was so good is not going to be what it's supposed to be against San Diego State and Boise State? Because to your point, if you're going to play this style of football, whether Warner turns it over or not, you can't get down by two or three scores. That completely erases your ability to shorten the game. If you shorten the game, you're doing the other team a favor. What about the defense? Are they going to be fine? And what did happen to them on what was clearly, as you mentioned to me, a flat team on Friday night?
Yeah, I think the aberration is some of the plays that occurred. You give up a 73-yard touchdown run when you haven't given up a 50-yard play all season long. They had only given up a 40-plus the week before against Nevada. Before that, very few explosives allowed by this defense, and then you give that one up to start and really set the tone against the Rams. That was unusual. And then the second touchdown Colorado State scores, receiver just leaks behind the secondary is totally unaccounted for. You know, we just haven't seen anything like that over the course of the season. So there was certainly, you know, whether it was energy or it was being unprepared for the way that the Rams were attacking them, you know, they got off to a really slow start. There was about a 30-minute stretch there where the defense was really dominant, and especially the defensive line was playing really, really on fire. If they could have played like that for 60 minutes, it might have overcome the issues the offense had, but not the offense and the defense combined after those first 20 minutes. So I think what you worry about, though, is that from what we're seeing from San Diego State right now and Boise State, I think they're a lot better armed personnel-wise. I think they are a lot more well-rounded. They've got the ability to throw and run. They've been physical. Boise State's got a heck of a rotation of running backs. Both these quarterbacks are among the better ones in the conference. So when you kind of have a more of a dynamic offense to go against, it is going to make life a lot more difficult for this Bulldog defense. On top of the Bulldogs offense taking on, I think, two defenses that are a lot more well-rounded than what they've seen the last couple of weeks. So it just feels like the conference games up to this point, you could kind of say, if they do this and that, they're probably going to win. But these are games where there's just a whole lot more boxes to check and a lot less room for error.
We said going in, I was talking to Panish about it. By the way, Brian will be with me for a very short time tomorrow because we do have a 2:30 baseball game tomorrow. But we both felt that in many respects the Colorado State game was a must-win in that if you lost it, you put yourself in a position where you're going to have to win both at home against San Diego State and at Boise. And that has to do with those two teams and with UNLV as well. All right, you lost it. It's apparent, Jackson, I don't think there's any doubt, right? If you lose to San Diego State, your hopes in conference are done for this year. Is that your take as well, that you have to win the game a week from Saturday at home to even think about the future beyond that particular game?
Yeah, at least my expectations would be that it would be done. I know just the first year of this setup, there were three teams tied at 6-2, but there was a tiebreaker for the conference championship, so theoretically it could wind up working out, but I just think even at the same time, you're not guaranteed at 7-1 either. So if your goal is a conference championship, you really got to try to win out and keep your fingers crossed, maybe even on top of that.
Well, particularly because the tiebreaker could become so complicated that a quality win comes into play. And unless Colorado State goes on a madman rush, you don't want to have that loss hanging there, right? Because that's one that could take you down in a tiebreaker, couldn't it?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of weird rules. And
yep.
At least if you are, let's say, in a three-way tiebreaker, it's going to come down first and foremost to the games played between those teams. So you hope that you get tied with two other teams that you have played and beaten. You could also get tied with UNLV, who you haven't played at all.
You don't play.
Then
yeah.
That's when a tiebreaker starts going down to the Rams, potentially. So it's a chaotic process, and kind of looking forward to Pac-12 play next year where it's a true round robin.
Well, San Jose State will tell you that they were not wild about last year. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah, especially you get teams that are in a three-team tiebreaker who had the more difficult schedule and are punished basically for it. You know, you can get in that situation too here. So, it's not a perfect science, and you don't want to let these. It's also kind of bizarre. A lot of conferences have different ways they do it. So, depending on which rules your conference has, you could be in the game or you might not be. So, you don't want to let it go up to that. But most teams, it's hard to go 8-0, and you're very likely to end up in one of those spots.
Well, the best thing the Bulldogs can do in this bye week is get ready to defend home field on the 25th against San Diego State, whether it's 12:30 or 4 o'clock. And then, much like I was talking about in regard to the league championship series in baseball yesterday going in, that if the Jays won last night, which they did, then they're back in the hunt. Lose it, you're down 0-3, and even though mathematically you have a chance, realistically you don't. Brewers face the same thing today. I bring that up because the Brewers and the Dodgers are getting ready to start on 790, and then the Jays will try to even the series with Seattle afterward. But it applies to a team that puts itself in a difficult position, and the Bulldogs, because of the loss of Colorado State, are in the kind of position where they just can't have one get away at home. We'll see what happens. Jackson, before I let you go, real quick, thumbnail recruiting-wise, what's going on right now? We talked about Rose already.
Yeah, Bulldogs are back on the road again this week with the bye week. Some of the coaching staff, I believe, headed out today after getting some practices in during the week. Seen a couple of junior college scholarship offers go out this week, one on the O-line, one on the D-line. So kind of gives a sense of where they're focusing in on right now. And there's a handful of high school prospects that are floating around. Oregon State had a few Bulldog targets in their class, besides Rose even, who have decommitted now recently. So the chance for Fresno State to add one or two high schoolers late, and we'll see what they do with this junior college class. And it's going to be interesting because the portal won't open until January, and you can sign some of these junior college recruits in early December. So there's a different kind of series of events that things are going to go, and you might be able to have more success in the junior college pool than all the money that has seemed to fly around between junior college linemen that were fighting with the portal kids last year. Now there's a bit of separation there.
Well, all I can tell people is get the sub for the insider part of the board. It's well worth it. All the recruiting information is there. And Jackson, still 30% off the board. Is that correct?
Yeah, 30% off the year to join that way and hope people take advantage.
Well, no doubt about it. Jackson, I appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend, and you and I'll reconvene next week, and we'll start talking about the lead up to San Diego State. Take care, my friend. Always good talking to you.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
All right. Fact co-host Jackson Moore, BarkBoard.com. When you hit the break, come back, talk about the schedule, hand it off to Phil for a couple of hours, and then it's time for, once again, the National Football League kicking it off, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. So the AFC North front and center, and Phil is at Fashion Furniture today. As we hit the break, our great friend, TJ, he said he has a really bad visual of me in a Florida tanning bed eating out of a bucket of chicken from KFC. Imagination gone wild. Hey, Paisan, I would love that to be my life, except, well, I might be able to arrange the tanning bed, provided I could get in it. The second thing would be, instead of the bucket of chicken, which I would love to have, my wife and son would eat the chicken and enjoy it, and I would get to eat the cardboard of the bucket, because that's what I usually have to do, because I'm not allowed to have anything I want to eat. That's what happens when you start to push up on 70. I told you, you go to the doctor and you say, can I eat this, whatever it is? And he said, does it taste good? You say, yes, yes. Then you can't have it. That's the rule. So thanks for bringing it up, and thanks for that mental image. Even I'm quaking about that. All right, on that high note, we'll take a break, try to de-louse, and come back and wrap up the show as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. About 3 or 4 minutes to go on the show. Hand it off to Phil. He's at Fashion Furniture, as always, on a Thursday with our good friend Radha Vidikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it. All of California, the great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well, El Paso across from River Park. Phil with you for 2 hours, then it's time for the National Football League as the Steelers are in Cincinnati. I guess everybody's relieved they're not in Pittsburgh tonight because everybody's upset about the turf in the old Heinz Field, which I think is, what, Acrisure now, I believe. But they've got to solve that because nobody could stand up, for goodness sake, last weekend. Anyway, that'll start the NFL week, and 49ers, Rams, and Raiders on our air over the weekend as well. Tell you about all of it scheduling-wise, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And once again, Ed and his entire group doing great work to benefit the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus at Fresno State. The goal is always to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students, and everybody at Precision does a great job of that, and we commend them for it and thank them for their sponsorship, and thank Ed for allowing me the time to tell you about the schedule. All right, as far as what's going on, in addition to the 5 o'clock start of the National Football League tonight from Westwood One, you've got a doubleheader of baseball getting started as the Dodgers and Brewers play Game 3 from Dodger Stadium. Critically important game, obviously, for the Brewers. They'll start at 3:08. The pregame already underway on our sister station, the Deuce 790. As soon as that's done, it'll be over to game four up in Seattle, and that is an opportunity for the Jays to even up that series. That will start about 2.5 hours after the Dodger game, so we'll have a little bit of a JIP probably, though the games can move pretty quickly. And it'll be tomorrow a reverse of those games, with the Seattle game being later, the Dodger game being later, the Seattle game being earlier tomorrow, and that's how we'll play it out, with one on 14:30, the Seattle game, and the Dodgers on 790, because we have high school football tomorrow. Phil and Paul Metters will be out in Kingsburg for Kerman in Kingsburg, 7 o'clock with a 7:30 kick. As far as the rest of the lineup, Phil normally with you 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with his fine show Behind the Bench. You can always reach him on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Paul Metters has two fine shows on Wednesdays on our sister station, the Deuce 790. He has the Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. That's 6 to 7 on Wednesday nights on 790. And then on Saturday mornings on 1430, live from First String Sports, the long-running, outstanding show Paul has, Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1 at ATT.net, TDAD, the number one at ATT.net. First names are fine. For the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. Get the live links and podcast there, and also the app makes it a lot easier to listen. And one more reminder about the National Football League weekend, and of course we'll have a lot of baseball as well all the way through the World Series, not only starting tonight with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, but the Rams have a very early start. I mean early start, our time from London, 6:30 in the morning on Sunday. The 49ers have the Sunday night game at home against the Falcons, who looked very good against the Bills this last week, and also the Raiders are in Kansas City for that love fest. So we've got all three of those games, and then we culminate the week of the NFL with Major Wager Monday. It's another doubleheader, Tampa Bay and Detroit at 4 o'clock. I believe that's the game we're going to have for you from Westwood One. But also Houston and Seattle are playing at 7. They're playing the later game. And keep in mind, Major Wager Monday, you stop by me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park. Carter and the gang are out there on Mondays. Great giveaways, terrific atmosphere, obviously great food, big screen TVs, and a doubleheader to enjoy. So please stop by. Anyway, thanks to everybody, sponsorship-wise, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And the final thank you goes out to our friends at KFC, and want to remind you once again that the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, right now bringing back the classic from the late 90s, that is the honey barbecue flavor on everything from chicken sandwiches to tenders to, of course, the crispy golden pieces you know and love. That includes the 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals. Great offers at KFC. If you stop in, tell them thanks for helping out sports-wise across this great valley of ours. And the final thank yous go out to Jorge and the Jackson. We'll talk to Brian Panish for about a half hour tomorrow. Stay tuned for Phil, then the National Football League on 1430, and the doubleheader underway right now, Major League Baseball, the League Championship Series, over on 790. See you guys tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.